Matthew 6, 5 to 13. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I add, because it's not in the English Standard Version, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to draw from the subject of prayer today, for the subject of prayer, from a simple acrostic from which I'm taking a word from each letter from the word prayer. But I want first of all to read the words of a hymn. I think it was in the ladies' meeting on Tuesday night it was sang, but it's a lovely hymn, and I love the words of this hymn, 521, which says, prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the simplest form of speech that infant lips can try. Prayer, the sublimest strains that reach the majesty on high. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air, his watchword at the gates of death. He enters heaven with prayer. The saints in prayer appear as one in word and deed and mind, while with the Father and the Son sweet fellowship they find. O thou by whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the path of prayer thyself hast trod, Lord, teach us how to pray. That hymn, for me, the words of that hymn encapsulate for us what prayer is all about. And so, taking the letters of the word prayer, I've got the following thoughts to share just briefly this morning. From the letter P is the word praise. From the letter R is the word request. From the letter A is the word ascribe. And then jump into the letter E, which I've got the word expect. And then the final letter R, I've got the word respond. And I missed out the one letter Y. And I'm going to take the letter Y, and I'm not going to use a word beginning with Y, but I'm just going to take the letter as it is and make it into a question. Why? Why? And simply to ask this question, why prayer and why pray? And the simple answer is because Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount, and I've read it there in those verses, he simply makes this statement, and when you pray, which speaks of Jesus expecting that those who follow him would be a praying people. And he continues with, pray then like this. In other words, when you pray, I'm expecting you to pray, I want you to pray like this. And he's given to us a pattern for prayer, which I've read there, and I will bring this pattern out, or some of it out, with the other words that I've taken with my acrostic for the word. Prayer, as the hymn I quoted says, is the Christian's vital breath. Prayer to the believer is as vital for the well-being of the soul as the air that we breathe is to the natural body. See, we need to keep breathing in and breathing out to get oxygen to flow around the bloodstream to give us the energy and the life that we need in the natural, the physical. And prayer is the means by which we get from God the vital energy, the spiritual oxygen, if you like, for us to remain healthy and strong as believers. Prayer is, as the hymn puts it, the way in which we stay in constant communion with God. It is like a breathing out as we talk to Him, and a breathing in as we receive from Him or as we listen to Him. So why prayer? Because it is vital. Prayer is important, not only in the life of the individual, for me on my own, but prayer is vital and important for the body of Christ together, us as a fellowship of God's people. Secondly, why pray? Well, my second answer would be this, that because the way has been made available for us to be able to come into God's presence. And that's good news. The way has been made available for us to come into God's presence, and we are encouraged to come before Him. This is what it says in Hebrews 4. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, and yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why pray? We pray because there is a supply of mercy, and there's a supply of grace that is available to help us in our times of need. And we can tap into this supply, the supply of mercy and the supply of grace, only by coming to the throne of grace. And thirdly, and I could give lots of reasons, but this will be the final one at this point. And why pray? Well, simply this again. Because not only is the Father ready to hear us, and that's good news, and not only is the Son, the Lord Jesus, standing in His presence on our behalf, but we pray because the Holy Spirit is standing by, ready to help us to pray. In those moments when we need to pray, but we cannot find the words to pray, or may not even know what to pray, the Holy Spirit is available to intercede with us and to intercede for us. And Romans 8, 26 to 27 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So God expects us to pray, and He's put everything necessary in place to enable us to pray, and we can have confidence that when we ask, He will listen, and He will answer in accordance to His will. So let's look at these other letters. That's answering the letter Y. Why? I'm going to put P and A together. Praise and ascribe. One of the emphases that we've been making as we've been gathering for prayer on a Wednesday evening over the last few months is this emphasis on praise. P for praise. And here I want us to consider it in the context of the importance of giving praise before we ask, before we make our petitions known. Taking from the Lord's Prayer, which is really the prayer that's not the Lord's Prayer, really, it's the prayer that He's given for us. It's the prayer that we need to be praying. Praise is all about acknowledging who God is. For in that prayer, our Lord says, when you pray, say, Our Father, hallowed be your name. That's how we start. Hallowed be your name. Praise is all about acknowledging who God is. It is recognizing who God is, who He is in His majesty, who He is in His power, who He is in His dominion, recognizing Him and declaring Him as the creator and as the controller of all things, and recognizing when we come into His presence that He has the right to do what He wants to do. Praising Him for His greatness and for His faithfulness. And so I have to link the third letter A, which is ascribe or ascription. See, we do not have the right to come before God with petitions, that is to ask and to ask and to ask and to ask without first ascribing to Him, giving Him the glory, giving Him the honor, and giving Him the praise. I love the words of another song, and again, we sung it during this last week, and it goes like this: You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship and we bless your holy name. And then he goes on to say, why do we deserve the glory and the honor? For you are great. Our God is great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. And God truly does deserve the glory. He truly does deserve the honor. Therefore, we dare not come before Him with requests until we have ascribed to Him the glory and the honor that is due unto His name. As I said, these thoughts that I'm sharing this morning to me, or the acrostic, I should say, and I put the thoughts together afterwards, came to me Wednesday evening, and there is a notepad in the back, and I was on the overhead, and I got the pencil that was there, and I quickly scribbled them down. And as I, and this is literal, exactly, the very moment when I wrote down the word ascribe, as the pencil was putting those letters down, Bonnie was there and she started to read a scripture. And at exactly the same moment, out of her mouth came the word ascribe. And she read these words: Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. And that scripture is to the angelic host, the heavenly beings, commanding them to ascribe to the Lord. But the same applies to us as well. We who are the redeemed of the Lord, when we come into His presence, we need to ascribe to the Lord. You who are born again, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name, and worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. And again, I'm reminded of the words of another song: Ascribe greatness to our God the Rock. His work is perfect and all His ways are just. Ascribe greatness to our God the Rock. His work is perfect and all His ways are just. He's a God of faithfulness and without injustice, good and upright is He. Yes, when we pray, when we come together to pray, praise and ascription are vital components. They must be the priority and also interspersed when we're making our petitions known. For we really are coming before a great God, an awesome God, who deserves the honor and deserves the glory. The wonder to me is this, that He actually allows me to come before Him. Then surely, because He does, we must and I must take the opportunity. I put something here which is tongue-in-cheek really, but you know, if the Queen, who is the head of state, sent a message to say that I can come or go and have an audience with her next Wednesday, would I go? Well, you bet I would. Go and see the Queen. Have an audience with the Queen. I'd love to have an audience with the Queen. But I would have to tell her, ma'am, it needs to be in the morning because I have an even more important meeting in the evening because I'm going to meet with the head of the universe. And that's what we do when we come together on a Wednesday evening. Yes, the head of the universe, our great God, the Creator, he invites us to come together to his throne room. And that takes us to my next letter, to make requests. So our request, Philippians 4, 4 to 6. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It's quite simple. We come to God with our requests. Be it for ourselves, because I need prayer. Be it for others, because you need prayer. Be it for healing, for salvation, for deliverance, for provision, for direction, for protection, for, well, the list is endless. And we can make our request known unto him with the proviso, of course, that we ask in his name and for his will to be done. Remember the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples. As I've said, I've read it already. Your will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. And we can ask, and we can make requests with an assured confidence because we have already seen our God is such a great God that we can never come before him with any matter that is too hard for him. He can do the impossible. He can make a way where there is no way. He can remove mountains. He can open doors that are shut and shut doors that need shutting. For prayer is the place where we come and we bend our will over to his will. Prayer is the place where we do real business with God. Prayer is the place where we request and he actions according to that which is good, is his good and perfect will for us. So therefore we move to the next letter, E, which is the word expect. I wonder how many know the simple little chorus that became very fashionable back perhaps in the 60s and 70s, and yes, I am old enough to remember. Expect a miracle every day. Expect a miracle come what may. If you believe it, God will find a way to perform a miracle for you each day. How many know it? Few older ones, you expect a miracle every day. That's what prayer is all about. That's what coming into the presence of God is all about. When we make our requests, it's expect a miracle every day. Expect a miracle come what may. If you believe it, God will find a way to perform a miracle for you each day. See, when we pray, we should pray expectantly. When we pray, we should pray believing for the impossible to happen, believing for things to be turned around and circumstances to change. For we ask, God hears, and God answers. Of course, we know what it is often said, and I agree with this, that sometimes God responds with a resounding yes. At times, God may have to respond to us with a no. But other times it may be that God requires us to wait. But whichever way it is, God hears. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we should give our requests with expectancy in our hearts. I'm sure that we can all testify to very real and definite answers to prayer that can only be put down to the miraculous. Bill has already said about himself this morning, and by what little snippets he's told me in the past, it's an answer to prayer. It's a miracle. And God has done that miracle in all of our lives as we've come to know him as Savior and Lord. But he's willing to still do miracles every day as we come and ask him in prayer. In the book of James, we read from chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then it continues with these words, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. That's an amazing phrase. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was just like you and me. He was no different. And then it says that he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Well, I tell you, I wish I had the faith to pray that prayer sometimes. Stop the rain, Lord. Bring the sunshine. But he was like us, and he prayed fervently. Elijah prayed fervently, and as a result, his prayer was, and this is another E for the letter E, his prayer was effectual. It bore remarkable results. May God give us the faith to believe for more, to pray for more, and give us the faith to pray expectantly, so that our prayers made in this place will also be effectual. There's almost a prayer that we need to be praying. Lord, increase our faith to believe that you are the God of the impossible. Then finally, the letter R, respond. And here I close. Last week in the family service, we heard about the story of the 10 lepers. All were cleansed, but only one came back to find Jesus and give thanks. See, we in our praying, we give praise at the beginning, we give ascription at the beginning, we ascribe everything we need to our great and awesome God. But in our praying, we need to always respond with thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God our Father for all he has done. Respond with cheerfulness. Respond with praise. Respond in the same way we have started, by giving him glory, because he does answer prayer. And when he answers prayer, like that one leper that returned to give thanks, we need to come back and we need to give thanks from a grateful heart. And so I don't need to pursue this. We know the importance of giving thanks and responding with joyfulness, even if the outcome wasn't what we had hoped for. For at the end of the day, if we have asked for God's will to be done, we still give thanks if it is different to what we had hoped for. For at the end of the day, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. So let's give thanks when we pray with a cheerful and a grateful heart. Trust a few thoughts will be a blessing in some way. In Jesus' name. Amen.